Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Welcome back into the final hour of the Eric Ainge Show on this Monday. We're coming to you live from Dynabody in Maryville. Eric Ainge sitting there at Dynabody in Maryville. We'll be getting a workout in presumably during the break, Eric. Good place, good spot for you to be here this Monday.
Oh, yeah, man. They have so many different things for your home gym. If Ramon Foster is building a home gym at his house, he shouldn't go pay top dollar. Or he should come get all the same stuff here and get it sent to his house.
And Ramon, like they did for Eric, they will stitch your name into your workout equipment that you'll put in the garage or wherever you put it in your lovely Nashville home. How are you this Monday?
I'm good, man. How are you guys? Man, that might not be a bad deal. I'm going to be honest with you. If I can get something as customized like that, I might have to reach out to them. EA, set that up. That's
nice. I'm telling you, I guarantee you've met Heavy before. Him and Coach Fulmer are like best buds, and all the stuff we used to work out on with Johnny Long back in the day, it's all Dynabody stuff.
Yes, Johnny Long. Oh,
I say
man,
we. The stuff you worked out on and I dabbled in the corner with the little light dumbbells.
The life of a quarterback continues to show itself every single time.
Ramon, it is Florida week. And with it being in a different time of year, with it being some different circumstances, it doesn't have the juice that it's had in some years. But it's still Tennessee, Florida. I know that moves the meter for you and gets that blood pumping a little extra.
It does. And I'll be honest with you guys. Starting off the season, I was really hype about this game in a sense of, okay, we've always gotten Florida in the early part of the season. We've always gotten, I feel like, real recently in a sense because Florida just seems to always pick up steam early on because probably just better team probably overall and just being completely honest about it. And also it seemed like we take time to get going as a football team. And I thought when we started off the season, we would have the ability to, okay, be up to speed. And I'm not sure if that's going to be the case this week moving forward with Florida on Saturday, simply because we're not up to speed at all. And I would hope that this, you know, abbreviated bye that we have, or I guess you say this impromptu bye that we had this past week would say that we're going to be very prepared, but it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case considering what happened the last time we had a impromptu bye like that. So that's my biggest concern this week is how prepared are we when you got a team as good as Florida? I'm hopeful, but not where I was at the beginning of the season when I look forward to this matchup.
I think, too, when you look at it, it's hard not to like watch Florida play average this past weekend and still win by a lot.
Yeah.
If I set the number for you boys, I was just talking to Coach Pete over here and we were going back and forth on the quarterbacks and what you should do. And I was like, bottom line, you put whoever out there at every position you have that you think can get your team to score over 30 points because there's no way this game is going to be decided by less than 30.
Nah. Like I said, I'm a very optimistic person almost in every aspect of my life, especially when it comes to sport and the team that I truly love, and it's like the Vols. And it's just going to be a hard sell for me unless we find a way, honestly, EA, to slow this game down. And I mean it offensively. That means just the efficiency of just running the offense is where we got to take on Florida, taking the plays that are there, not expecting, I'll be honest with you, us to stop them offensively a whole lot. They got some players on their team and the quarterback, the teams that have come into his own a little bit. And like you said, them having a slow game this past weekend, actually, they still ran up points. So that's the most concerning part about us is the fact that what are we going to do to help ourselves out? Because it hasn't seemed that way. I mean, you have this – it's been looked different for us lately. Like I said, this past weekend, Florida beat UK 34-10. And I thought the first quarter of that game, I was actually rooting for Kentucky just in order for them to beat Florida. And Florida just seems to overpower people right now at this point.
You know, I think the saving grace for both for us on both sides of the ball, Florida's not very good at running the football. Their running backs dance. They don't, and I actually think their O-line blocks decent, but their running backs on the little zone sweep sideways stuff, they never are just hit the hole 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You can stop them from running the ball, and then on the flip side, they're pretty good at stopping the run, but you can run the football against Florida. So if we can run the ball and they tiptoe like they do, that could be the game where that could be the game where it's 31-28 or it's low 30s, but we don't have anybody that can cover Kyle Pitts.
No,
or Kadarius Toney or any of those guys.
Yeah, and until we figure out this middle of the defense slant route that everybody's throwing on us, we won't have a good time at all on defense too. So I'm looking at right now the stat line for Trapp. At this point, this pass, Ole Miss 416 yards. His passing is off the charts. If you look at it, in this past game against Kentucky, he had 256. I mean, looking at his passes, his game by game passing yards, EA, Kentucky, 256. Vanderbilt, 383. Against Arkansas, 356. Against Georgia, 474 yards. He's got two 400-yard passing games. This guy is he's proven to be legit there. And if for anything, we've heard people say time and time again, and we look at the games too, that our secondary is not where it's supposed to be at right now as far as being able to stop this passing threat that they have. And you mentioned Pitts. I mean, this guy is he's a friggin' tight end playing like a wide receiver. What more can you do to him at this point? He's definitely first-round draft pick the way I look at him.
He actually plays in line and plays tight end more than I thought, too. Like, he's at 246 in that time from their last game this year, wherever that ends up being, to combine time. He'll put on 8 pounds of lean muscle, and he'll be 6'6", 254, and he'll be a top 10 or 15 draft pick, man. I mean, and just to your point about Trask's stats, in the red zone alone this year, he has thrown 21 touchdowns in 8 games and 0 interceptions. In the hardest place to throw the ball, ridiculous. I mean, that's Joe Burrow-esque from last year.
Yeah. Do you look at this guy as a guy who could be a first-round draft pick? I know the quarterback position gets played up a lot, but this is one you're wondering the same thing that you got to look at what happened with Burrow. I mean, he's got a heck of a resume right now. His passer rating is a 194, completion rate a 77.8. That is off the charts, man. And like I said, I'm always optimistic about the Vols, but these guys seem to be on a different, I guess you could say, a different mission as far as this season is concerned.
He has thrown in the last 2 years, last year, because he played a lot last year and played well. He has thrown 59 touchdowns and 10 interceptions thus far, with not even playing in every game last year and playing so far through 8 games this year. He played in 12 total last year. So in 20 games, he's thrown 59 touchdowns and only 10 interceptions. I think he's going to be better than Trevor Lawrence. That's my hot take on him. I think he'll be a better pro than Trevor Lawrence. When I watch their 2 games, Trask looks like he could play in the NFL right now. Managing the run game, definitely. Moving in the pocket, you know, making all the good – every decision he makes is the right one. And he's incredible, dude.
That's the hottest take I've heard in a long time. Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you.
You remember that one.
We'll see if Jerry Jones passed on Trask or not, if he's available there at that point in the sense of franchise quarterback. But he is doing the job, man. And I guess since on the topic of quarterbacks, too, is – what are we going to do this weekend? It's something we can probably talk about after the break, but if for anything, that's one of the main concerns we've had all year long.
Yeah, we'll come back with that. Where does Tennessee turn? How do you evaluate a quarterback against a team like Florida? And what's it like leading somebody into that rivalry game? Eric Ainge did it as a freshman. Could Harrison Bailey do the same? That next when we return with Ramon Foster. His hour with us brought to you every Monday and every Thursday by our good friends Ted Russell Ford, Kingston Pike at Walker Springs, as well as Parkside Drive, two giant locations to serve you. And you can find out more at TedRussellFord.net. The Eric Haynes Show continues next from Dynabody.
For your business, maybe you do what we did and you just piece it together piece by piece. Cardio equipment, get the half rack, get the rubber flooring, get all the dumbbells and the weights, kind of do as you need. They've got you covered here. What a great gift to give for the giving season, a place to exercise. Brian?
Ramon, what would be the first exercise, the first workout you think Eric Ainge would actually do in a home gym? Is it all about the quarterback?
Dude, I work out there all the time. I don't do cardio.
What I'm telling you is this. He have a weight room full of weights, okay, weight machines, 45 dumbbells, 45 plates, 25-pound plates.
Got him.
He's got a back rack that probably has up to 180 to 220 pounds on it. Just all kind of balls, just everything in his room, okay? Guess what EA would do because he lived the life of a quarterback? He would sit over there and just do bands, okay? That's all he would do, bands. And he would probably work out with the med ball. That's it.
Are we talking like bands to make her dance or like bands to get strong?
No, bands to get strong. That's all I remember you guys doing.
It's a wholesome family. This is a wholesome family show.
Sometimes.
Important stuff, wait.
He can't let it go now.
Nope.
If I can get Ramon to laugh at any point in our hour together, then I deem it a success. Therefore, I have already succeeded. I've arrived, and I'm checking out.
The show's done.
Now, look, Brian.
Made it all
the
way to 11:18.
What EA is doing is this. He's trying to find a way to get a win because I checked him on the fact that quarterbacks don't lift. And he would have a weight room full of weight, and he'd rather do band work or he'd rather stretch. You know, and he just walk around.
A lot of value there.
You see what I'm saying? Okay, now we're good. The show's off and running now, okay?
Quarterback's the one saying, oh, yeah, he says you got to stretch, you got to stretch. All right, speaking of stretching, Tennessee gets Florida on Saturday. They have won with a freshman quarterback before. It was some guy named Eric Ainge back in 2004.
Now we're talking. Yeah.
Can you carry, if you think it's time for Harrison Bailey, or if contact tracing has kept Jared Garantano out of practice, as there have been some reports of, do you think that it is time to go Harrison Bailey, and how do you make that happen for a freshman in this matchup?
You know what? At the end of the last game that they ended up playing, what I saw from them was this. It did seem like against Auburn that they had a little bit more jump in their step when Harrison was out there. That's not to say that maybe the team was just, okay, give us something new, but it did seem that way. We've seen reports that said the receivers had good weeks when Jared Garantano wasn't practicing. If we're looking at that, I think we – either you rotate them, which I'm not a believer in, when Eric and Schaefer was going through that whole little rotation that they had going on our freshman year, that was one of the things that Coach Cut and I guess Randy Sanders thought was okay to do. But in this scenario right here, if one's working, keep them in. I think sometimes the pressure of knowing that somebody is at your heels and it's a real threat, It could bode good for JG. We saw how he did last year in the sense of, hey, he was the reason why that seven-game win streak was real. He was putting it together, and maybe he worked better under pressure. So having a real threat when you don't have the coach saying that he's our best means of winning is what you're hearing. So you have no pressure underneath you. If you rotate him, you get series one, you get series two, you get one quarter, you get the next quarter. Competition sometimes brings the best out of it.
Well, and I would take it to this. This is what I was saying earlier before we had you on, Moan. I know what I have in Jarrett. I respect it. I am rooting for it. And if I go to him, if I'm playing head coach and I say, Harrison's starting, but you might play the second play, the second series, you got to be ready to go because, as much as we think we know what we're going to get with him, he's a freshman and he's never started before, be ready. I would rather give the young guy – the start, the week, the meetings, the prep, the patience to go out there and play at a high level, knowing I got this the old steady head over here that I can always bring him in, and it may not be good enough to win, but neither Bailey might not either. We just said it. You're good. You got to score 30. You got to score 30 yeah. at least to beat Florida. So I don't know that it matters who the quarterback is, but I think as far as getting the most out of them and really seeing what you got, I think you got to start the guy that doesn't know better and leave the old head on the bench. And if you need him, you bring him in. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what we kind of saw this past weekend, honestly, in the LSU game, was that they started with a freshman. Well, it was two freshmen, really. But I think the way LSU looked at it, Ogeron looked at it, was the fact that, okay, what do we have to lose? And that's how you got to kind of view this season for the rest of it. I mean, we've lost five straight, guys. And everybody listening, like, nobody imagined this. So what's the worst that can happen in this? If Harrison Bailey, guess what, gets shell-shocked by whatever that's going on, well, maybe he's not the guy for the next 3 or 4 years anyway. If you're not resilient enough to say, okay, well, I know the scenarios I'm being put in. I know I'm in a losing situation right now. And you let that haunt you for the next 3 or 4 years, whatever the case may be, if he's competing for that quarterback position, then you know what? Maybe he's not the guy, and that's what we got to stop doing. Like I said, some of those hard decisions that coaches are paid to make, they're not making them. The idea that a guy's not ready, well, guess whose job it is to get him ready? Well, guess whose job is also to bring a guy out of a funk if he does get shell-shocked? I think that's one of those mentally weak positions that people can play is, oh, we got to protect them. Protect them from what? You want to play in big-time ball games. You want to play at a big-time university. And here you are saying that you don't want a guy to get shell-shocked. You want to ruin him? No, I'm not okay with that. Guys come in every single year, and they're expected to do certain things. And if those things don't happen, guess what? There's a new recruiting class happening the year after. Same way it goes in high school. There's a new freshman coming in every year. And even in the NFL, there's a new rookie coming in to take your position if you're not up to the job. And football is one of the ultimate sports where you put athletic ability, you put your mind to it, and you also have the physical aspects of it that says, hey, look, if I get my job done, then I continue on doing my job. If I don't, if I can't handle the physical toll of it, the mental toll of it, well, guess what? Why do we herald so much the college recruiting classes if we don't go get the guys we want to put in those positions? If he's not the guy, it's going to show. EA, you've seen it time and time again. And you have too, Brian, in the sense of a 4 or 5-star guy just doesn't pan out. Well, guess what? That's fine. Move on. But it's got to be on the coaches and everybody around them to keep that pressure on because you're expected to do a certain thing.
Football is constant adversity. And if you can handle it, yeah. You can play. And if you can't, you can't. And I agree with you. And that's why I think you start Bailey, because it makes – you're trying to – you know, hopefully limit the amount of adversity he has to go to, but you only start Bailey if Jim Chaney can look at Jeremy Pruitt and say, I can call the game that I want to call with Bailey at quarterback. If putting Bailey at quarterback means you have to start cutting out and picking and choosing, then you're basically admitting you're not going to be very good on offense and you're going to lose. So that's where I would come in. If I were Pruitt, I'd say, I want to go with Bailey. Can you call a game for him that's what you want to call, when you want to call it, and you don't have to reserve or hold back? If the answer is yes, then I'd say then he's starting and Jarrett's coming off the bench. If he says no, then I'd say your job is in jeopardy, and I guess we'll start Jarrett because you got to score over 30.
Yes, you do.
No holding back, man.
None. Yeah, and you went through a little adversity like that when they decided to go with Rick. I mean, you didn't back down after that. You didn't say, okay, well, my time is up. No, you went back to the drawing board, got yourself right, and next thing you know, you're starting leading us to the SEC championship. That's the way the game goes, man. You learn from it. If you don't learn from it, we end up in this situation all over again. Like, in the sense of what are we waiting for? You know, like, we're 5 straight. And also with another, as I said earlier, impromptu bye week, decisions should have been made moving forward. The pressure that Coach Pruitt's got to do this week needs to sound very confident in what their decision is going to be. Playing the toss-up game of, oh, we'll see, or this is how we'll wait on that? Nah, there's been enough time. There's been enough practice time and together time with your coaching staff, with the players and everybody else involved inside that building. that need to come forward and say, we're rolling with this and lay it all out. There's no more secrets at this point.
That
Let
is
the whole
VFL.
Team get behind them.
Yeah, absolutely. That is VFL Ramon Foster. He joins us for the 11 o'clock hour on Mondays and Thursdays. When we return with Ramon, Derek Mason fired there on the West End in Nashville. Can anyone do anything at Vandy? And big win for another or for a Nashville team this weekend in the Tennessee Titans. That's next. Ramon's Appearance brought to you each and every Monday and Thursday by our friends at Ted Russell Ford, Kingston Pike at Walker Springs, and a giant location as well on Parkside Drive. TedRussellFord.net for the full selection. They bring us the Ramon Foster Hour on the Eric Ainge Show. Ramon, Derek Mason fired at Vanderbilt. Is there anybody that can win at that school the way they are currently constructed?
I'll say this. I think you can win there. It's just depending on how many wins is okay at Vanderbilt. That's the only question I got for you, because if you look at in the contrast of certain, I've also heard people say don't give them that excuse either. Look at Stanford, another similar program, high education values, hard to get into, got to have the right type of athletes, meaning academically. You look at Duke and what Cut has done there. I mean, they've been a six-win team. They've had some success there. They put guys in the NFL. Vanderbilt, I guess you would say, well, the ACC and the Pac-12 isn't the SEC. The competition of your interconference games is what makes it hard to win there. But those schools go through some of the same thing with USC, with Oregon State, with Arizona. Then you got, of course, Clemson on the other side of the ACC, Miami, Pitt. It's in the sense of, I think the equal comparison may be Duke to Vanderbilt. Finding a coach that can get you, just being honest, 5 to 7 wins has to be successful there. The firing of Coach Mason is something that's kind of expected. Having 6 years, having your ability to have your recruiting class in and still show no signs of getting better. And this year, I figured he would have been able to make it to next year, considering it's been a pandemic year, bad offseason. I think they've had some of the worst issues when it comes to COVID, as far as them being shut down. But it's just been bad, I guess. It was time for a change. Colleges are like that these days, man. It's give us wins or promises of wins or you're going to be out. And I don't think Vandy's done neither of those in the last 2 years.
When I look at those other schools you mentioned, and I would even take it to Notre Dame with similar academic requirements. Yeah, I think that those schools all show that they're committed to winning in football, and I don't see that from Vanderbilt. And all of those schools also say they're committed to winning in all sports, and I just don't see the desire there from Vanderbilt. And so I worry about who – and look, I don't care. Ultimately, I'm a Tennessee fan. If that's one easy win on our schedule every year, I'm fine with that. Yeah. But I think for the health of the league, it doesn't help to have one doormat.
Me either. And I mean, the same can be said, too, with Northwestern. Here they are in the pandemic year. They were ranked number 8 until Michigan State beat them this past weekend. Very high academic school as far as grades and admissions and stuff like that. So – it sucks because the person lost their job. I think he will land on his feet because my understanding he's a defensive genius in the sense of being able to get guys play and do right is, as far as the efficiency is, Vandy is a inner city school in the sense it's in the middle of Nashville. It's just tough. It's Vandy football and getting a quarterback there and having, I guess, stability, which they're about to lose that in the sense of losing Coach Mason. We had Kari Blassingame on our radio show this morning with J. Martin Ramona. He just spoke highly of him in the sense of, like, the man that he was to them, how he expected a lot out of them. And it's everybody's trying to win, or they're using this year to actually, you know, I guess, cut the fat off, I guess, in a lot of things that they want to move on to. The thing that I always point my finger to is this, is Vanderbilt just recently got a new AD, actually a black female, which is awesome. It's very progressive. But I'll say this about new athletic directors. They always want to have their team in. Unless it's a person that's very successful, they're going to find a way to get their coach in the game, and that's something that can't be overshadowed. Also, is hey, I want to make my hire so that when we have success, it's my pick. So him going 0-8 this year is just an easy way to break the wrist and walk away on that scenario.
You know, that's such a hard job to hire, though. Like, we were talking about Jim Harbaugh in Michigan earlier, and I brought up Steve Sarkisian, who was the head coach this past game for Bama, mm-hmm. and has been the coordinator, just putting lights out performances one after the next. If I'm Steve Sarkisian, I'm a coordinator. I'm not taking that Vanderbilt job.
No.
Coordinators can get paid upwards of two. Like I was looking at Luke Fickell earlier for the Michigan job. He makes $3.4 million at Cincinnati.
Wow, wow.
Like, you know, Brian brought it up. Matt Campbell would never leave Iowa State for probably anything, but they can pay him enough money that money doesn't make the decision anymore. So who's actually going to go take that job at Vanderbilt?
And that's what I was saying too. Is okay. Well, how do you get those type of wins in? And you're right, EA, just because the job has an opening doesn't mean that you need to be the one to go take it. You can right. set yourself up and set yourself back a few years by taking jobs like that, man. It's a hard take sometimes being in Nashville or being here when baseball is king when it comes to Vanderbilt. That's who you're competing up against. It's like you're holding everybody else back because football, I think, is America's number one sport, but in Vanderbilt, it's baseball. And that's where they are as a university. I think whoever takes this job has got to be somebody that's going to be young enough to relate to guys, that's able to get them in. And if we're saying anything about making a change, I know Derek Mason's a defensive guy, but if you got some excitement on offense, they got to go after an offensive-minded guy this year. And I know Sarkisian's had his transgressions and stuff like that as the head coach, and he's making his comeback tour. It might not be a bad deal. I mean, we saw James Franklin use Vanderbilt as a springboard to get to the school that he wanted to. If he gets Vanderbilt 5 to 7 wins or 6 to 7 wins, they can push him into a bigger job. So you just never know, man. But whoever it is, I think they got to go after an offensive-minded person, period.
All right, we'll come back with some NFL talk. The Titans get a big win yesterday. The Broncos had to play without mm-hmm. a QB. Ramon's old team still is scheduled to play tomorrow night. Who knows what's going to happen there? We'll take a look at the NFL when we come back. It's our hour with Ramon Foster. Thanks to Ted Russell Ford, Kingston Pike and Walker Springs, as well as Parkside Drive. TedRussellFord.net on the Eric Ainge Show.
The actual, you know, because we always talk about the pre-owned equipment and everything they have downstairs, but the gym, which is full service here, has everything in it. It will remain private for the cost of $25 a month. You get your own key, you come in here, and you get your workout in. You don't have to worry about a bunch of other people and, you know, crowded dumbbell areas and other people's sweat and all that. You don't have to worry about that. Get your own gym, $25 a month, and it will remain private right now.
Ramon, the Titans with a big bounce back win this past yesterday kind of was almost the exact opposite of how the first game against Indianapolis unfolded, and the Titans were the ones that ended up with the big number next to their name.
It was, man, and I think if anybody watched this game this past weekend, you will see that their mindsets were just different. Tennessee went out there with a mindset of we're coming to smash your face in and you just going to take it. The way that they ran Derrick Henry this past weekend, the way he produced for himself more than anything, showed that there was going to be their mindset. And even on the other side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, they made Phillip Rivers. Remember last time we had this conversation, guys, we were talking about how Phillip Rivers looked like he was the old him again. And they made him look like the person that we thought he was going to be coming into this 2020 season, this past game. Like he was throwing off his back foot, his ball had no zip on it, and his decision-making seemed to be off a little bit. And I heard Kenny Vaccaro's post-game interview, and he was just talking about they took away his first read, they took away his timing route. And you guys know, like I know, at that point, he's scrambling. He's just trying to make something happen. And in this age of new quarterbacks that run the ball a good bit, Phillip Rivers is not a quarterback that's very foot savvy when it comes to making plays.
That's a nice way to put it as a fellow sloth-footed quarterback. I like how nice you put that. All he did was kind of fall down into tackles after a while. Simmons getting his hand on balls. They look good. You know, the first three drives of the Tennessee, the Titans offense was surgical. It was. But watching the plan that they had on defense and the execution level that they had, that has to be. I mean, Ramon, you know, you remember how fun those team film sessions are when you pull out the clips and and it's one guy who slipped and fell and looked like he faked an injury and everyone's roasting him and it's all the fun stuff. but it's also the, hey, counting pancake blocks. Even in the NFL, the Titans were dominating up front. The execution level, passing things off on defense and then being right there, bang, bang, to make a play on the football. They had him uncomfortable. He was uncomfortable all game. You could just tell Phillip Rivers was uncomfortable, and that's the goal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that was our best means of winning because last round he was the reason they won. If we're being completely honest about it, Phillip Rivers was the reason they won last game because on the Thursday night game because you didn't expect him to play the way he did. I think he had over 300 yards. He's out there having a good time, I'm sure. He was, edited trash talking because you know he doesn't curse. And him and his trash talking has to be top three of all times of the stuff I've heard and the defensive players that's played against him who said, you want to hear somebody trash talk, you got to hear Phillip Rivers. And he didn't have much to say yesterday, man. They got to him. They didn't sack him a whole lot, but they made him uncomfortable and they made him try to create. And the timing of the offense with Frank Wright, I don't think is not productive when they're doing stuff like that. The first two series of the game for them was scripted. You can tell they had a plan. They punched the Titans in the face back the way they should have. And after that, when they were forced to punt the ball off and the Titans went down to score, it just didn't seem like they were going to be good at playing from behind. And when Derrick Henry's running the way that he is or the way that he did yesterday, it's not many people that's going to beat them unless you're willing to run the ball and be able to score as quick as they were yesterday.
The rest of the NFL has come around into your to the COVID issues. We'll start in Denver with not having a quarterback. They have to start a guy who hasn't played quarterback since college. Predictably, Ramon, it didn't go well.
It didn't. And you know what? I tried probably about six different times to flip back between that game from the Kansas City-Tampa game. And I was trying to catch Denver's offense, and I couldn't because they were so quick on three and out. It went exactly as you thought it was going to go, man. And it sucks for those guys, but I think that was the NFL's little punishment to them to say, hey, this is what you get when you guys don't take care of your business. I think it was pointed out that the Denver Broncos quarterbacks are all hanging out together, not wearing a mask. And, you know, with Drew Locke there, him trying to be the guy, I think they were sending a message to him, and I'm not sure if they gave him any kind of detrimental to team type of fine, conduct detrimental to team type of fine, but I'm more than sure they say, this is why we have questions about you being the number one guy here. It's because you're doing immature things like this. I mean, to have no quarterbacks, and you're supposed to be the franchise, or you want to be the franchise quarterback, and you're doing stuff like you're an amateur, it wouldn't shock me if Denver's trying to, I don't know, maybe have a bridge guy, they might draft a second rounder or something like that because you want somebody to be the head of your organization and be the leader of it.
And then your former team, the Steelers, still, as of the last time I checked Twitter, are still scheduled to play the Ravens tomorrow night. Lamar Jackson reportedly one of the players that's tested positive, so you probably won't have to face him, but this has got to be incredibly frustrating for a Steelers team that was expecting to have a long layoff. Now they'll play Tuesday and then next Monday, from what I understand. For a team that didn't do anything wrong, this has got to be frustrating.
It is. It's a bad spot to be in. And more than anything, they've been kind of gypped a little bit on the bye weeks. And I don't care what level, especially what I say in college to the pros, you look forward to that bye week because you get an opportunity to rest. And those guys hadn't had that. And also the fact that the continual schedule changing, we're going to play this day, not play this day, then you push it back another day, it's just frustrating more than anything. We spoke about this before. The start and stopping of a game or practice or a schedule really messed with athletes a good bit. And I'm sure that's all it is more than anything, is uncomfortable more than anything. And I'll say this, Coach Tomlin, to have those guys with the attitude that he doesn't want to hear about their problems, go out there and get a win and make it as if it was a regular scheduled game.
This breaking piece of news out of Michigan. Michigan has paused all team activities with their football program for presumptive positive COVID tests. With the Big Ten's guidelines, that would mean that they're down for a couple of weeks, which would take them out of that game against Ohio State and cost Ohio State another game on their schedule. Closest Jim Harbaugh's come to beating Ohio State?
Still won't happen.
I know. And the thing is, I'll say this, so I think the guidelines for the playoffs, if they got to play a certain amount of games, I still think if they're undefeated, which they should be, Ohio State will probably still get into the playoffs, man. It's just, I think looking at it, everybody assumes they're one of the best teams in all of college football, and they deserve to be in it. That's my just random opinion on that.
Yeah, I can't disagree with it, but, man, it would be funny if Michigan not playing cost Ohio State a chance in the playoff.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine?
Talk about something.
Right up Harbaugh's alley.
Ratchet up that rivalry just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. All right.
Hey, if you can't beat them, cost them a chance to win.
That's right. Go Monty Python, just bite their leg off. Come back here. Ramon, what are you watching for this week as Tennessee gets ready for Florida before we talk to you again on Thursday? What has to come? What do you need to hear coming out of practice between now and Thursday?
Play calling on both sides of the ball. And defenses, the defense having a really good week, namely the secondary. And both of them work hand-in-hand, secondary and the defensive line. They got to be able to get off blocks and at least disrupt the passing game some this past weekend. I mean, this upcoming weekend.
Eric?
Yeah, I think you have to do whatever you have to do. I just looked at it. They scored 34 points against Kentucky, 38 against A&M, Vandy, and South Carolina. So there's no way they're going to score less than 34 points. So just do whatever you have to do to know you need to score at least 34 points to win.
And that's probably easier said than done, but we're going to roll it and try to do it anyway. Ramon, we'll talk to you on Thursday. We'll have seen a couple of more NFL football games, and we'll have a good idea on where we are for Tennessee and Florida on Saturday. Looking forward to talking to you then.
Absolutely, guys. Good talking with you. Talk to you Thursday.
That's VFL Ramon Foster. His appearance brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday. Barrett's Ted Russell Ford, Kingston Pike, and Parkside Drive, two giant locations. And, Eric, no time to find out what we learned today, but that's brought to you by Regenerative Complete.
Regenerative Complete, regencomplete.com. And you already know that we learned that you have great stuff downstairs here and $25 private memberships to a gym, dynabody.com.
Great stuff. Appreciate Dynabody having us out today. We'll see you tomorrow on the Eric Ains Show.